Rick, let's begin today with a look at the third quarter GDP out this week.
It's a really pleasant surprise to have good statistics to report. Third quarter GDP came in actually quite a bit stronger than expected. The consensus forecast on the first look at the July through September GDP, the estimates were coming in at about 1.9%. You know, that's inflation adjusted, so we take the effect of inflation out of it. But the actual number came in at 2.85%, substantially stronger. So that's the good news. Of course, it's always a mixed bag in economics. The growth came from investment spending. One of the categories of investment spending that gets tracked is inventory investment. That's purchases by businesses of goods which are not yet sold to the consumer. So you can think of your car dealer having their inventory on the lot waiting to be sold. Well, the production of those cars creates inventory, which is counted as investment by business until you make the final sale, and then it's counted as a purchase of a consumer durable. So inventories were up, inventory purchases by business, and so that contributes to gross domestic product because it represents output from the nation's factories. The downside is that if you're building up a lot of inventories in the third quarter, that means you won't need to produce so much in the fourth quarter. So inventories rose more than expected, which is indicative of consumer retail spending a little bit weaker than we would have liked to have seen. The other big category of growth was in structures and residential investment. And, you know, now that interest rates have started to rise, we've seen that banks have cut back on staffing for mortgage processors, for example, as interest rates have risen and refinances have fallen and purchases of new homes are slowing down. So the big drivers of Q3 growth are things that we're not going to repeat in the fourth quarter. But, you know, having said that, there's good news on the inflation front. The Fed is looking for a bit higher inflation to keep the economy from going into the downward spiral of falling prices, falling lending, falling economic activity. And so the Fed's preferred measure of the price index actually rose at 1.9%. And so that's good news that it appears that some prices are behaving in a more normal fashion rather than a recession fashion. So a mixed bag, perhaps, but overall, it's a very good GDP report.
Rick, let's talk now about job growth, particularly in Florida. Payroll provider ADP reported this week that Florida's growth in the private sector, jobs is slowing down.
It has slowed down this month, but you know that's a month-to-month decrease. And if you look at the data series, it is kind of jagged. There are ups and there are downs. We've been averaging about 10,000 jobs per month growth net. That's the amount by which the addition to jobs, the increment to jobs, exceeds layoffs and job losses. And so 10,000 a month, that's okay, but it's not really good. If you look before the recession, we were averaging about 13,000 jobs per month. And so job growth is not where it needs to be. The really distinctive thing to me about this period in Florida's growth history is the extent to which the fall in housing prices across the state since the start of the recession has really driven, just in the last several years, an uptick in inbound migration. And this is particularly true of the baby boomer age demographic. We've actually seen that about 65% of the growth in the last year was driven by in migration. That was 60 people 65 years of age and older. That's in strong contrast to last decade, 2000 to 2010, where growth in 65-plus-year-olds was much weaker as a component of total growth. So we're getting a lot of retirees coming in, finding bargains on housing, and that, of course, will drive subsequent job growth, providing services, whether it's healthcare services, whether it's retail shopping. We can expect job growth, though, to follow the population growth. But we're not seeing it yet. We're still at about 10,000 per month job growth and slightly weaker than that, 8,500, as you say, in September.
And Rick, it looks like most of that job growth was in construction, transportation, and in utilities.
Across the nation and in Florida, construction spending picked up noticeably in 2013 relative to past years. Of course, it was coming off such a low bottom where we lost over 50% of our construction employment as a result of the recession. But yes, spending is up, and that's a good thing. And to the extent that we're depleting the housing inventory, houses for sale, and starting to build new ones, then that's always been kind of the traditional growth model for Florida. People sell their home up north, buy a less expensive home in Florida, move to Florida, and pocket the difference as their nest egg. So growth is returning, and that's a good thing for our job market.
Finally, Rick, I wanted to talk about the Florida Defense Support Task Force grants that were handed out this week, $200,000 specifically coming to the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce.
That's no surprise, but it is great news. Every year, the Defense Support Task Force typically has funding from the legislature to make awards like these, and they go to communities across the state that are particularly dependent on their military bases for employment. And clearly, the Pensacola metro area is one of those. So it's great news. Let's hope that we see a good success with the proposed Center of Excellence for Corey Station. A lot of high-tech stuff going on there. And if we can capitalize on that and have it spill over into the private economy, that would be very good for the local region.
And we should say that the city of Niceville here in this area also got some of the funds, got a grant, and the Economic Development Alliance of Bay County got money as well.
Typically, there are 12 to 15 of these awards to communities across Florida.
We'll hold it there, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandra.
You can hear the Economic Report Fridays. I'm Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.